Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am JP Finley here with Rich Tandler. We are going to talk Redskins. And Tandler, I want to start just because our travel schedules were different. I did not get to talk to you too much after the game Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday, we haven't seen each other. Just, again, weird scheduling this week. So, three games left for the Redskins. We all know the deal. They're currently a half game outside of the playoffs. Do you have them making the playoffs?
Well, if they win three in a row, which I think they I think there's a good shot at it. You know, that's not, you know, it's never an easy thing to do in the NFL, but they're all three, I think, winnable games. So yeah, I do have them in somewhere along either the Falcons or the Bucks will lose one, or if the Giants lose one of their next two, and then the Redskins obviously would beat them on the last day. So if any of those things happen, which I think is highly, that part I'm sure will happen, I think the Redskins can win three in a row to get in.
Well, I think the Bucks and the Falcons play one another, don't they?
No, I think they're done with each other.
Are they?
Bucks have Cowboys, Saints, Panthers, I believe.
You still calling the Bucks a fraud?
Hold on.
I'll say no.
I've been impressed the last couple of weeks. Although the Saints are kind of falling apart at the seams, that win over them was not all that impressive. The Bucs aren't scoring a ton of points, but you know, if they keep winning, the defense is playing well. I think that they're certainly on a level with the Redskins.
Well, hold on for a second then, because last week when I did my power rankings, you told me the Bucs were too high and that they were frauds and that they were going to lose to the Saints.
Well, I was wrong. Gee, breaking news. Tandler was wrong in her prediction about an NFL game. Let's stop the presses here.
I like to think the Skins make the playoffs, but I don't know if you'll remember this. We had a conversation when they went on the four-game win streak. And they were two games, you know, it was at Detroit, at London, before the bye. And you and I were talking, and we both were like, you know, they're the better team. They should be 6-2 at the bye. And I just had a real hard time seeing them winning six in a row. And you and I talked about, in a vacuum, they're the better team, but to actually get out there and do it is hard. And so I kind of just think the same thing. I think certainly they're a better team than the Panthers, better team than the Bears. And the Giants, I mean, if the same defense that shows up that played the Cowboys Sunday night, that's a tough team. That Giants game will not be easy by any stretch. But it's just, it's hard to predict them closing out on a four-game win streak to me.
Well, they've had a four-game.
True.
And the Bucks, in order to stay ahead of them, the Bucks have won five in a row, I believe. So the Bucks would have to finish off on an eight-game winning streak.
Well, and you know what's funny that we like, we're only talking about the teams ahead of them. It's entirely possible that both Tampa and the Skins trip up, and that Green Bay catches them, or so. You know, I mean, there's so many things can happen.
The Packers have definitely turned it around since they played the Redskins.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Since they got drilled. That Bucs defense is playing well, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm just looking 16 points last week, 14 2 weeks ago. You'd like to think the Skins can outscore them. Odds are right now they're not even going to play them, but...
Right.
All right, so let's talk about the actual kind of what's going on with the roster. Signing Nick Moody to me is just a depth move. I don't really think he's in the plans for the Panthers. Do you agree?
Yeah, it just says to me that Will Compton and or Sue Cravens, probably more Will Compton, but, you know, as Gruden has his way of talking about injuries. He said they were day-to-day, week-to-week. And, you know, who knows? So I think that means that at least one of them is more week-to-week, probably Compton, is more week-to-week than day-to-day, meaning Compton likely doesn't play on Monday night.
You think either of them are playing?
So that would leave, you know, that would leave them pretty thin at inside backer.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think it sounds like there's no way Compton's going to play this week, especially with this move. I mean, Gruden said in the presser on Monday, yeah, you know, there's a good chance Martrell will start on Monday night. So to me, that's pretty telling.
Right.
And, you know, I like Martrell Spade. I'm curious to see what he can do. When we were in Richmond, he looked strong.
Especially with the week with the first team reps. He was a little bit lost last week. I think he was a little bit overwhelmed, didn't quite know where to be all the time. But, you know, he'll settle in, I think. You give him a week with the practice reps, and, you know, I think he'll do pretty well. Now, it's one thing, Compton. I like Compton as a leader. I like him in a lot of ways, but he is leading the team in missed tackles. I think Martrell could improve that at that position.
Gotcha. And Cravens, I guess I haven't heard one way or the other. I've reached out to some people. I think an extra day will certainly help him. I think they kind of dodged a bullet because that looked like a lot. That looked pretty bad Sunday night leaving Philly. It didn't look like a good situation.
Yeah, you say bicep, and you know, I think and anything really damaged in the bicep is at least weeks. And of course, if you tear it,
right,
it's probably the season. So yeah, you know, it just turned out to be a smaller muscle that is in that vicinity there. And so, you know, does he play Monday night? I'd be surprised, but will he be back the next Saturday against Chicago? I think there's a pretty decent chance.
Yeah, but even bigger is that this Redskins defense has been struggling. I mean, the last few weeks have been – I recognize that they held the Eagles to just 16 points. Well, that's a pretty bad Eagles team that was able to drive the ball at will. It was a pretty bad Eagles offense that was able to move the ball up and down the field in that first half, kind of however often they wanted. And now you're missing two more guys on a team that's beat up. I just, as much as you want to make the playoffs kind of as just like that barometer of what you determine is a good and worthwhile season, would that, I mean, I guess... You know, a lot of it will depend on matchups.
Hey, you know what? You know, the Falcons' defense is awful, just as bad. You know, the Bucs, we just talked about them. They're very challenged offensively. You know, every team in this group is the Giants. Giants have more turnovers than they do. They can't run the ball. They're minus five in turnovers. You know, every team in this gaggle of teams looking to make the playoffs has serious flaws.
I mean, the Falcons' offense is better than the Redskins' offense, though.
Okay, well, it's still a bad defense. You know, if they do play the Falcons, it would be a shootout. Who has the ball last?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, because if you look at the yardage, it's pretty close, but the Falcons are able to score and the Redskins aren't. I mean, we've talked about it for 13 weeks now, that the red zone, right. You know, I mean, the Falcons score in the red zone. And so just look at point differential, Falcons are plus 83 and the Skins are plus 13. So that's 70 points difference, and that's, I mean, I'm not going to chart it out, but I bet a lot of that is directly attributable to red zone scoring.
Right. Or, yeah, well, just scoring outside, you know, like the Redskins did. They got three touchdowns without, they solved that red zone problem on Sunday against the Eagles. They didn't go there.
Right.
They went right through it.
Well, they had the one red zone TD, right?
With three touchdowns, so.
One of their TDs,
20 yards.
One of the TDs was Garcon in the red zone, the fade.
Yeah, that's one of the four.
Right. How much did Gruden enjoy?
The two runs were over 20 yards, and of course Jackson's.
Yeah, the bomb. How much did Gruden love the fade?
Oh, he got a big laugh out of that in his presser.
Yeah,
no doubt.
All right, so Carolina, are you prepared for a week of Josh Norman against Cam Newton talk?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I think I don't know. I'm just writing in my need to know post for Wednesday morning. You know, I don't know how much juice that really has. I think, you know, especially from the Panthers side. You know, they got into it every once in a while. But, you know, but the Panthers, they let him go. I don't know if they, you know, if you put Dave Gettleman, their general manager, on truth serum, I don't know if he would say he made a mistake, but I think to most people, it looks like he did in rescinding that franchise tag. They certainly, there is no question that they did not and do not have an adequate replacement for him. And they're cornerbacks, and they've been injured, but even when their cornerbacks were well, they were not very good. So, you know, I think that, you know, any reason for the Panthers fans to be mad over that? I don't think so. Maybe mad at the Panthers.
Right.
Any reason for Redskins fans to be mad at anybody? I don't think so. So I just don't know how much juice there is there. You know, it's Josh versus Odell.
Right.
Yeah, it's something there, but the Panthers are obviously they're more worried about being, what are they now, 5-8? You know, they're more worried about their record than anything else. I don't know. I think there's something there, and we'll talk about it and we'll write about it. But I don't think it's going to have the hype that it might have had if the Panthers were playing well.
Right. I think that's the biggest factor, is that the Panthers are a mess and have enough questions of their own that they can't really get caught up. You know, if you're coming in and they're both teams were 8-5, it's a storyline, big time. But the way it looks right now is Norman kind of won that argument to me. I mean, not that you pin everything on one player, but their defense got torched through the air for most of the season. And, you know, I know they lost some other pieces, but Norman's proved, though he hasn't had the turnover impact here, he's had a big impact on the Redskins defense, and he's proved to be a damn good cornerback, and certainly for the first year worth the money. So, I think that one.
Look, I mean, last year he was the first team All-Pro cornerback. He had four interceptions, which is certainly more than he's going to end up with this year. He might pick up one or two more along the way, giving him two or three for the year. But right now he's sitting on one. But, you know, I think, you know, people realize his impact is not going to be in the interceptions column that much because quarterbacks don't throw to him.
I mean, did Carson Wentz throw at him? It couldn't have been more than three or four times, right?
Yeah, it's on that 2-point conversion he did.
Right.
And, you know, maybe once or twice more. I can look up the targets, but, yeah, it wasn't very much.
Nobody on the Skins there's nobody with more than one pick.
Yeah, what do they have, like eight? I think they have eight or nine, and it's by eight or nine different players.
They've got eight interceptions by eight different players. Compton, Breland, Norman, Cravens, Preston Smith, Dunbar, Martrell Spate got that pick at the end of the Packers game, and then DeShazer Everett last week in Philly.
Yeah, that was a big one. I tell you what, Everett and Cravens might have the two biggest interceptions of the year.
I think Cravens is still the biggest, but yeah, you're right. The Everett one was big. And, you know, the Dunbar one was big, too, in that Eagles, in the Giants game early.
Oh, yeah, that was in the end zone, too. And Norman's helped, you know, that let them get the touchdown to finish off the Browns, who were seemingly were never going to go away.
Right.
So it's not a whole lot of interceptions for the Redskins this year, but they've all been pretty high impact.
Sadly, Breland's was not very high impact because it came as they were just getting trounced. Although I guess it was still pretty close when he got that pick against the Steelers.
Yeah, that was a competitive game at the time, I believe.
Preston Smith's interception was certainly high impact.
That was huge.
Huge. Will Compton, that pick came, what, in London against the Bengals?
Yeah, that was in London. The Bengals were driving to score. That was big. And,
Martrell Spates was not.
That game was over.
Yeah, that game was way over. So, right. Spate comes in
so
last.
Out of eight, what, we have six that are pretty high impact.
And I'd say Cravens and Everett are huge impact.
Yes, and perhaps Dunbar.
Yeah. I mean, we could almost rank these. I would say Cravens, then Everett, then Preston, then Dunbar. Maybe Dunbar. I don't know. This is a dumb game. But
I'd put Preston above Everett.
But at some point, Norman,
Preston second.
Norman's is important, too, because if the Browns were moving the ball, and if they lose that game, they drop to 1-3.
They move the ball all day.
Right. And you lose to the Browns at home, man. That's big trouble.
Yeah. Your season is immediate. It would be on the brink in week four.
You know, it's funny looking at the stats that everybody was... There was a lot of confidence in the secondary being an elite unit in the NFL. And everybody thought once Junior Gallette went down, they wouldn't be able to rush the quarterback at all. They've got, what do they got? 34 team sacks. Kerrigan and Murphy almost have 19. They almost have 20. And that's with Preston really not doing much. He's got 4 sacks on the year.
Yeah. Murphy would still be a defensive lineman if Gallette hadn't gotten hurt.
I wonder what's up with Preston. And there's been a lot of times where he's close, but he's got to be. He's such a nice, good spirited person, but it's got to be beating him up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it just looked like, you know, last year the light switch had flipped on. And, you know, and then slow start, and then he had the big game against the Vikings. And hasn't been seen or heard much from since then, except I think he got a half sack against the Eagles, I think. So, yeah, you know, it's I guess young players like that are just inconsistent, and they really have to learn how to use their physical tools. You know, it's Trent Murphy, third year, right?
Right.
You know, nothing. Boom, he's probably going to end up with a double-digit sack total.
Well, do you remember...
So, you know, I think it turns on for different guys at different times.
Do you remember the argument, the discussion Chick and I got into in Ashburn, or in Richmond, rather, talking about Preston?
And no.
I feel like you might have been on the other side of this with me also. I thought some of... But two things. I thought Preston was going to have a huge year because he looked great in Richmond, right? We all did.
Right.
But I kept pointing out, and I said this on TV at the time, he had 8 sacks. More than half of them came in the last 3 games of the season. So, to me, the 3 sacks in Philly was kind of the outlier. And I was like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be basing so much off of the way he finished that season. And it just gave me a little bit of pause in kind of the projections that we were seeing for some projections for Preston. Say that 5 times fast. And looking back on it, I mean, he's clearly like a streak player. I mean, the way he played against the Vikings was so good. And, you know, if he can get back to that, it would really... So the last 3 games of last year, he had 5 sacks. If he can go 5 sacks the last 3 games of this year, I think the Redskins get to 3-0, like you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. You don't know, you know, with it. But, you know, look at the end of last year. You go, well, is that, you know, just a hot streak that happened to come at the end of the year, which apparently it was, or was it him all of a sudden, okay, I get this game now. Here's what I got to do, and it's something carry over into the next year. Obviously, it was just a hot streak that just so happened to take place at the end of the year.
Yep, very true. All right, so I think I saw on Twitter that you gave Rob Kelly a good report card grade.
I did. I gave him a B.
What's the highest grade you've given him this year?
I've given him mostly Bs. I don't grade every player every week. I kind of go through and, you know, whoever either stands out real good or real bad, or I think needs commenting on, I do it. I do a different kind of report card. But I think I must have given him an A when he against the Packers.
Had to.
Yeah.
Had to have in that one.
Yeah. I try to be, you know, I try not to give out too many A's. I only gave out one against the Eagles.
Who got an A? Deshaun? Who got your game ball from that game?
Who what?
Who gets your game ball from that game?
Let's see. I would have got, I guess, Deshaun. I mean, you know, that 80-yard catch was one thing, but man, that one tiptoeing along the sidelines that the Eagles challenged and got upheld, that was also a heck of a catch, and that just shows, you know, what else he can do, you know, when he's not just, hey, run long and try to beat the corner and the safety down the field. It's like, you know, that's some genuine receiving talent there. So I think he gets. I gave him the only A, so I guess I'll give him the game ball too.
Well, and I also think the 80-yard bomb he caught, a lot of times it's just pure speed and he gets deep and nobody can catch him. But the amount of tracking, the way he had to track that ball and catch that thing Willie Mays style was really pretty impressive. That was not, you know, like when he hauled in the deep ball in Dallas, it looked like a bit of a blown coverage and he just outran everybody. That yeah. Philly game, there was a guy kind of on his hip that he separated from in those last 7 yards. And then he had to track that ball. It was pretty windy up there. That was a remarkable catch.
Yes.
What grade did you give Kirk?
The what?
What grade did you give Kirk?
I gave him a B.
Yeah.
I thought he was good. I mean, the pick six was awful. And I know, you know, and he doesn't have the accomplishments that Ben Roethlisberger does. And, you know, on that, you know, everybody was on him for one interception. Roethlisberger got picked off 3 times on Sunday against the Bills. You know, and God, I can't remember. Though, I mean, he had a multi-pick game against the Steelers. I think his last one before that, you have to go back to the start of next season.
Well, and
so I think while we get on him about it, you know, he is pretty darn good with protecting the ball these days.
Right. Well, see, here's the thing that we need to be able to get to with Kirk, and I think we should be, but it, weirdly, I don't know that we are, is that you and I, the media, and fans too, should be able to critique Kirk. Like, that was an awful throw that he never should have thrown. You cannot be late going to the outside like that. But that doesn't mean I'm questioning him as a quarterback, you know?
Right.
Like, yes. Quarterbacks make bad throws. He made a bad throw. Overall, he played an okay game.
Right.
But in no way am I suggesting he's not the long-term answer or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying now. It's like, you know, I think some people have, you know, yeah, they are kind of thin-skinned in that regard, I guess, when it comes to hearing criticism about Kirk.
Right. And not to suggest that Kirk is, but weirdly, like, the fan base, there's, you know how weird the fan, like, there's this whole, like, pro-Kirk, anti-Kirk is Kirk the right guy? Like, him having one bad throw in a game in Philadelphia has nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
It's also...
Yeah.
I don't know how much you looked at the stat line. They hardly got any plays in that game.
Oh, no, I wrote about it. They had 46 snaps. That's their fewest in the game since, this is off the top of my head, 1996.
Wow.
And the last time they had fewer snaps in a game and won the game was in 1972.
I mean, that's what you just hit on. That's the biggest thing is the Skins didn't really deserve to win this game. Their defense got trounced early. They got bailed out by that Everett pick in the end zone. A ton of penalties, like that's been happening all year.
Well,
hemorrhaging third down conversions.
I don't think saying they didn't deserve to win. I'm not gonna agree with that. They scored four touchdowns. They didn't have the ball a lot. They scored quickly. They got real good field position that one time after the botched field goal, you know, and the Eagles evened that out with a pick six. So, but you know, they just moved it very, very quickly, very, very efficiently. I don't think they should be downgraded because they had a two play, 81 yard drive that took up about 37 seconds, I think, when they had a run and then an 80 yard bomb to Deshaun. I mean, that's not, you know, okay, that was two plays and the Eagles ran a lot more before it and after it. So, you know, I think the better team won that game. They could have lost. I think it's going a little far to say they didn't deserve to win. They could have lost, but you know, you get four touchdowns in a game. And your defense gets, you know, holds them to a field goal a few times. They, you know, gets that stop at the end, gets the interception. You know, that's kind of how this defense is. So I don't think it's quite right to say they didn't deserve to win.
All right. But if you look at this stat sheet, 24 first downs to 16. Time of possession, and I get what you're saying with the one 80-yard pass play, but the Eagles controlled the ball the entire first half and much of the second. I mean, time of possession is almost 2-1. The conversions, like I mentioned, now some of the conversions got a little screwy because the Eagles had to go for it so often on fourth downs.
Right.
But, I mean, Joe Barry told us they aim to hold teams to a 35% conversion rate on third down. The Eagles converted 50% of their third downs. And in the first half, it was closer to like 70%. I think they did what perhaps good teams do, especially on the road. They got it together in the second half and did enough to win. And that's the important part. But I really thought when Kirk threw the pick six, I thought they were going to go down, open up a two-score lead, and this thing would kind of just, the ugly first half would kind of wash away as they go on to win 31-20 kind of thing. And that's what made that pick six, beyond just being a bad ball that we can dismiss because Kirk has a body of work that shows he's a strong player, but it was so impactful in that moment.
Yeah, oh sure.
All right, what's your prediction for the Panthers? Well, I know we're a little early, so it can just be a general prediction.
A general prediction? You know, I was.
You've already said they're going to win, so tell us how they win.
Okay, I think Cam is going to continue to struggle. The guy, in his last four games, has not completed 50% of his passes.
Woof.
I mean, that made my jaw drop. The reigning NFL MVP has not completed 50% of his passes.
Wow.
He's on pace.
I just pulled up these stats. Let me read this to you.
Okay.
So what'd you say, his last four? Yep. All right. A month ago against the Saints, 14 of 33 for 42%. He got as close as he did in that Raiders game, which was a pretty good game if you remember that. 14 of 29, so he almost got there. Then he was 14 of 32 in just a blowout loss to the Seahawks. And last week against San Diego, this is awful. 10 of 27, completed 37% of his passes, threw a pick, was sacked twice. Yikes.
Yeah. There's a couple of decent defense. Well, maybe one decent defense in there. I mean, the Saints, no. The Seahawks, yes. The Chargers are okay.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers will struggle moving the ball, but one thing they are good at is stopping the run. They're in the top 10 in rushing defense. They can still do that pretty well. They get after the quarterback. They lead the league in sacks with 39. So I think the Redskins will win, but maybe getting like in the low 20s or something like that, where the Panthers may be getting, two touchdowns or a touchdown and a couple of field goals.
Yeah. I'm at the point with the Skins where I think they should win, but just the way this defense gives up chunks, kind of losing to the Bears would really surprise me. That would shock me because that team is awful and has kind of punted on the year. I don't know what to make of this Panthers team. Like we just said, 3 weeks ago, they went to Oakland and gave them a really tough game. So they're still capable of giving a tough game to a team. The Chargers aren't a bad team at all, and they just took care of them at home. Yeah. So,
despite the fact that the quarterback couldn't complete a pass.
Right. And, I mean, that was with a terrible stat line from Cam. So I think I think one of the smartest things I heard Jay Gruden say in his press conference on Monday was he was asked, because you have an extra day of practice for Monday Night Football, will you look ahead to the Bears during one of these sessions? And Jay was like, absolutely not. We're going to focus on Carolina. And I think that was really smart, kind of on two fronts. One is, if he says, we're not so worried about the Panthers or something, which is something Jay would not say. That's not who he is.
Right.
But that, you never know how that gets played to the Panthers. And two is because it's correct. They need to be very focused on this game. I don't think the Panthers are that dissimilar than the Cardinals a few weeks ago. I think the Cardinals have more talent in David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, but the Panthers have more talent in Cam. And though he's been awful the last month, he can still turn it on. He's buried this team before, and you got to be ready for it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I'm like you. I mean, it would not shock me if they lost. It would not be the biggest upset in history, but it would be, I think the Redskins are ready for a game like this where, maybe there's not, it looked like a big matchup to start with, not as much juice when the actual game came around. I think they're probably ready for it, but you just think back to last year. I think this is a better Redskins team than last year, but Monday night, a couple of weeks earlier in the season when they went up against Dallas and they lost.
Yeah, that was a terrible effort too.
Obviously they survived that and, went on to win the division. I don't know if they'll survive this. So maybe that little extra element of fear of death, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. And the fact that they are at home, which will help. I think they should win, but yeah, I could, it would not shock me if it went the other way, but I do think the Redskins will win.
Okay. I want to read these quotes from Gruden. I just pulled it up while you were talking. So I'm going to read three different quick quotes from Gruden. It is a huge game for us again. Carolina is the defending NFC champion with obviously Cam Newton, awesome players. So we got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a great challenge for us. All right, so there's one. Then he's asked specifically, hey, you going to spend any time on the Bears? No, we're going to focus on Carolina. Chicago doesn't matter right now. We've got to put all of our eggs in Carolina's basket right now and do the best we can. And then the last one, we also know that one slip up and you'll be a game and a half possibly back. It's just up to us to take care of what we can take care of. That's Carolina right now. So if you're listening to the coach, in no way are they looking past the Panthers.
Right. and nor should they. Although
I think I just got a blog post reading all this stuff.
And I do think though they'll spend some time Monday morning and Monday early Monday afternoon, the coaches, not the players, starting to get Bears game plan together. I mean,
I imagine
you got a whole day to kill. Everything is in the can for that Panthers game. They'll almost have to. With 3 days before right. they have to get on the plane to go to Chicago.
I got a feeling they're already looking at tape on the Bears.
Yeah, so the quality control guys, you know, they would do that anyway.
Right.
Start a week in advance doing some cut-ups and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I think at some level there will be some game planning going on Monday at the hotel before they go. But as far as the players are concerned, the players won't be told anything about the Bears. There will be, you know, 100% attention on the Panthers, and that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. My last thing, and I know you got to run. Did you watch Ravens-Pats last night?
I saw some of it. I kind of tuned out when it was 23-3.
Did you see the commercial, the promo commercial on ESPN for the Monday night game between the Skins and the Panthers?
I did not.
Not Cam Newton, it was Kirk Cousins.
Hey.
I found that pretty interesting.
Hey, how do you like me now?
Yeah, it was I found that one pretty interesting. All right, Taylor, plug some stuff. Where does everybody find you?
You find me at realredskins.com. You find me also at rich_tandlercsn. And swing by the Facebook page, facebook.com/realredskins.
All right, Taylor, here's what I need you to do. Tell all your crowd to subscribe to the podcast, to review the podcast, and to tell their friends about the podcast. Can you do that for me?
Well, that's three things. I can handle three things. Okay. If the list gets any longer, I'm not sure. But, yes, right. The three things I can handle.
All right, good deal. Find me, JP Finley CSN, and Facebook.com, JP Finley CSN. I am going to let Taylor get off the podcast now, and I will see you this week, sir.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Folks, thank you very much for listening. Stay with CSNMidAtlantic.com for all of your Redskins needs. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you a beer.